And so I told you about my healing and my burning bait encounter last week. And very, very strangely, that after I declared my healing, because 2 weeks in the last 6 years, I have never experienced 2 weeks of lying down flat with one pillow, rest the entire night and day. I was practically down on my bed the entire day with no symptoms at all of reflux. And when I talk about symptoms of reflux, it is not just acid burn, okay? I'm talking about shortness of breath, like you're going to die. Your heart palpitating very fast because the acid irritates your heart muscle. And it's like, it's more or less very similar to the symptoms of heart attack. And therefore, or you will have all this rush coming out and your whole mouth tastes terrible, bitter, sour, the entire day or week or month. And so I did not have any sort of all of these symptoms for 2 weeks. And I was very thankful that the healing came suddenly. But after I declared the healing and the breakthrough, I went back. The next 2 days, I begin to have interrupted sleep again. But I make myself lie down because I say, God, I met you. You say you healed me and I'm going to lie down and sleep. And so I claim that promise. I make myself lie down and sleep. But the next 2 nights, I have acid rush. But on the 3rd night, I couldn't take it. It was bad. And Pastor Ed left on Thursday. So on Thursday night, I text him. I said, there's no way I can lie down to sleep. I have to put up again all my pillow fortress because I couldn't breathe. And I was coughing very bad. This is a reflux cough. And I was locked into a confusion with the Lord. I said, God, how is it? And then I talked to Edward. I would say, we just got to press in because he really felt a sense of breakthrough. Now, Pastor Ed has been experiencing that sense of breakthrough. And even in my family, Kenny has been experiencing breakthrough in his sales. These are breakthrough signs. And even as I listen to testimony of like children, they are breakthroughs. They are breakthroughs in our life. And I say, I'm not going to listen to the lies of the enemy to tell me that the healing that God gave to me is reversible. No. Because what God gives has to be secured. And so God gave me Psalm 62:2 to say that you are the rock and my salvation. You are my fortress and I will not be shaken. And so I've been claiming this verse the entire week. And so the entire week I've been fighting and I'm asking God, why? Why? But we will talk about that next week because this is last week's message. And so that 2 weeks, I know some of you are like, oh, what are you talking about? You can get some history from whoever bring you here because we don't have time to talk about my history. And I'm going to try to end early today because I just came from 3 days of dance conference. The last session is tonight. And I have to rush there tonight if you're going. The conference last final session is at 7 p.m. And it's good. It's prophetic declaration. So go if you can at 7. Join me. And I'm really tired physically. We don't have enough sleep because conference, you log in, you log out. And I probably have done all the cardio for my next 2 weeks. Because our class is back-to-back, and we are all sore, but we had fantastic, great time. Some of the things were nothing new, but it's just doing it again. But some of the things were new, they were fun, and Ashton especially enjoyed musical theater, and he had a male contemporary dance class today, just for the men. And so he really enjoyed himself. And he loved swing. You know, swing is described as the hip-hop of the 1940s. So we have really lots of fun, as well as every class, there is the word that is planted in with every move that we are making. And it is a very great impartation. I'm very blessed because I know the Eros International Dance Conference is very timely for the church and for us as we are launching out the Creative Arts Ministry. And I'm excited. And you see, the enemy will come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And even though the Lord gave me that breakthrough that day, instantly they are working extra hard to attack. But when they are attacking us, we need to rise up to counterattack. And we'll talk about that next week. And so that week when I had my fever, after I had all this communion with the Lord on my burning bed, I fell asleep and I had a dream. I dreamt because I was putting a hot pack on my neck at 4 a.m. So I had to do my hot pack and then I have to do my cold pack because I have very tense muscle, but I have also nerve pain. And so when you have nerve pain, you got to do cold pack. The medical student is saying, yeah. So I was doing hot pack, hot shower, cold shower. You know, I almost got a tub of ice, but we didn't. And I fell asleep at about 4 a.m. And I felt like I was having fever sleeping on a burning bed. But in reality, when I woke up, I touched myself. I'm like, oh, no. I'm not actually having fever. I feel pretty much normal that night. So I took the thermometer. I checked myself. There was no fever. But the dream was very prophetic. I dreamt of the story of the woman who looked for Jesus in the tomb. You're familiar with that story? Yes? And she was grieving. And she was crying and she was weeping in the dark tomb, looking for Jesus because she has lost the master. But while that was happening in that dream, I was that woman. I was Mary in the dream I had that night. It was me. I was seeing myself in the dream, in a dark tomb, crying, weeping, and looking for Jesus. And Jesus said, "It is finished." Jesus said, "It is finished." And I woke up. That's it. That's the dream. I woke up and I'm like, God, wow, this is very prophetic, you know, because it felt so real. It felt like I was Mary in the empty tomb looking for Jesus and crying out. And Jesus said in the dream, "It is finished." And I suddenly remember the entry I wrote in my blog in Gems for the Heart in 2011 when I was attacked with reflux. That was the time that I was actively blogging as well. And so, I want to read to you why I blog. On the 24th of April 2011, it was the Easter weekend. That weekend, I couldn't sleep at night. I was in severe reflux symptom. I couldn't lie down, but I was horribly tired. I was day tired. How many of you have actually know what it means to be so exhausted you cannot not think of anything else except shut your eyes and bounce to bed? Nothing else. I don't need food now. I don't need to shower. I don't need anything. I don't care if tomorrow got exam. I'm sleeping. Well, nobody, you're very holy. So that was one of those nights that I'm like, God, you want to heal me or you don't want to heal me? I just need to sleep now because my mind cannot function anymore. My whole body is breaking up. All I need is sleep. But I needed to put my trunk upright. I need to put my torso up so that the acid doesn't come out. Is it? It's a very strange case if you're a medical student because none of my doctors, I've seen many doctors, the doctor says it's a very strange case and we do not know how to help you. And one of my doctors says it's bad luck. And you can see, I've never gone back to that doctor. If bad luck, then I don't need to see a doctor to get my luck reversed, right? And so the Lord said, if you seek me, you seek me all the way. If you trust me, you trust me all the way. And so that week, I stopped the doctor. The following week, my doctor said that if you trust me, you trust me all the way. You stop seeing a doctor, now you throw away your medicine. I'm like, God, I can't do that because I can't eat without the medicine. I tried it, God, I tried it. I tried it for 2 weeks and start throwing up. I'm surviving on water and crackers, God. What else do you want? God says, if you trust me, throw away the medicine. And I said, okay. And so that week, I pressed through without the medicine. Every time I go into my symptom, I kneel down before the Lord. I pray and I worship and I drink manuka honey. I eat manuka honey and I drink bo'er tea. That's my 2 natural remedy. I just pray and go through that. And after 1 week, I break out of that without my medicine. Not without the symptom, but without my medicine. So though I was still having symptom, I could eat a little. At least I wasn't throwing up. And so ever since, so I went for a few months of medicine and I threw it off and never went back to see the doctor. And so that night, when I was crying out, I was reminded of this block. I was dead tired. So I said, God, I do not know what else to do. Ken said, we could just make some contraption and strip you up on the wall. But until now, I haven't seen that contraption. I must ask Ken, where's my contraption? And so my ironing board was there facing the window outside my house. And Pastor Head was snoozing away. And I kneeled down. And the ironing board was just right at where, the height is just right at where my chin is. And so I kneel down this way just to make sure that I support my torso so that my torso doesn't drop, right? And so this is what I did. How long can you sleep like that? This is one of those nights. I've done all sorts of things that I'm very creative in the last 6 years to think of all sorts of things to do to make myself to have a little bit of sleep. But I catch like a few minutes and I went boom. And so when I went down, I was very frustrated and I went bang. Sorry, this is the Lord's table, right? I went bang on the ironing board. And my husband jumped up and said, oh, what happened? I said, nothing happened. I just want to sleep. And then he sat up and he's like, you know, as a man, you want to fix things, right? As a man, you want to fix things. You want to fix it for your wife, right? You want to make it right for your wife. And here the man is sitting, a choleric man. It's like, I can't help my wife. There's nothing I can do. But that night, I was crying. After he went back to sleep, I cried to the Lord at the ironing board. I said, God, I'm so tired. I'm so exhausted. All I want and need is sleep. Is that too hard for me to ask for? And I cried. And I cried. And I cried the entire night. And suddenly, I heard the Lord call my name. Selena. Or maybe Lena. I'm like, God, is that you? And the Lord brought me back to the same passage that he gave me the dream 2 weeks ago. And I entitled, some of you have read my blog. And that blog I entitled, In the Darkness. But if you're taking notes today, the title of the message is, He Was Busy While I Was Crying. Woman, he said, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? That was the exact words the Lord asked me, 2011, 24th of April. Why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? John 20, 15, if you want to flesh that up. John 20, verse 15. But the entire entry of my blog was written based on John 20. And I instantly stop crying, and I say, God, I recognize your voice. You're here in the darkness. So in the dark of the very early morning, The hurried footsteps could be heard in the quietness. Her heart was filled with anxiety. Her hope was almost lost. That's me, and that's Mary in John 20. She was hanging on the thread of the least that was left in her heart. She needed to find the body one last hope. I needed to hear the voice of Jesus, my one last hope. Just one more to bang on. To her horror, when she reached her destination, the stone was rolled off. The entrance of the tomb was left open. She panicked. Her only remaining hope, it was gone. The body of the Lord she loved was not there anymore. She hastily ran to the other men and announced the shocking news. Two men immediately set for the site and soon found the truth. It was gone. The body, it was gone. In the midst of the emptiness, they only saw strips of linen and burial cloth for his head. She was not imagining. This man witnessed it too. The empty tomb. The last 2 weeks, or rather this week, when I was attacked again, I said, God, was I imagining our conversation when you say you are healed? Was I imagining? And the Lord had to remind me that, hello, we met. You encountered me. And same here, she's asking that. This man witnessed it too. The empty tomb. While the man left, she remained at the spot crying. Her whole being was flooded by a gush of sorrow unspeakable. She stood in the darkness of the wee hours in the morning, weeping in tremendous sorrow. Her last hope vanished. She must have stood there confused, afraid, and helpless. That was me. A sudden voice interrupted her weeping. She looked up and saw two angels. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She replied quickly, "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him." She felt another presence, and another voice interrupted her again. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? Please sit. Please, sir, tell me where. I'll get him." She muttered it between her sobs. Jesus then called her name, Mary. In the dark hour, amidst the quietness, I instantly heard him ask the same question, "Woman, why are you crying? I am here." I felt a sudden closeness of my Lord and I heard my name. That was enough. You know, when you hear God call you, that's enough. Whatever else doesn't matter, because my Father is near. Because Jesus, my friend, is here. The Holy Spirit, my comforter, is here with me. Everything suddenly just doesn't matter because I felt such closeness with my Lord. And I heard my name. It would suffice to reassure me that he will take care of everything, even in the darkest hour, in the longest night. In the darkest night, he's there always, as always. I may not realize his presence when I'm caught in the deepest sorrow, pain, confusion, anguish, just like Mary at the empty tomb. When I thought my last hope was gone, he appeared. He resurrected it. That's the power of resurrection. He died a cruel death, but on the third day, he rose again. He caused the darkest night to break forth with the dawn of his light. He's risen. All hopes are found in him. We stand here today to celebrate the power of his resurrection. And that same power still works in you and me today. And that same power has been given to us when we call upon the name of Jesus Christ as we receive Him in our hearts. Do you believe it? That same power is in you and is in me. And we have to remember that Jesus did not die in vain. Now the passage that was my entry 2011, April 24th. And this is the second time the Lord gave me such the same passage, but in a dream. And I was reminded that above all else, above the pain and the suffering, Jesus is close to me. And there's always a reason for our pain. Now the passage of pain. Our pain, usually we tie it up with negative connotation to losses, right? We lose health, we lose loved ones, we lose possession, we lose our dreams. Where we have losses, we feel pain, correct? Either it's emotional pain, physical pain, or mental pain. It is still pain. Who likes pain? Who immediately will reach out for painkiller when you have the slightest feel of pain? No need to put up your hand. It is said that women have higher threshold of pain than men. True? True. Because we are called to bear children, right? Pain is a gift. Pain is an indicator that something is wrong in our body, if we're talking about physical pain, correct? If there is no pain, you will not know there's something wrong with your body, and therefore you will not be able to treat it. Correct? So if someone who is having pain, and there is cancer in the body, but you do not experience pain, by the time you find out it's the last stage of cancer, it's already spread. So you cannot do anything about it, correct? Maybe some of you say hallelujah because I don't have to worry, I'm going home immediately. But generally, pain is a gift. God design it in such a way that when we have pain in the body, we know that something is not right. When I have pain on my heel, something is not right, right? And a lot of times when we have pain on our heel, we have sciatica pain. We got to treat it. Not treat the heel, but we got to trace our sciatica nerve. And we got to do something about it. And sciatica pain is very horrible. You can't walk. So pain is a gift, but we human beings tie it to negative connotation, to losses. And Jesus' pain is our spiritual gain. Correct? His pain on the cross is our spiritual gain. If Jesus did not die on the cross and bear all the pain for us on the cross, we will not be here today in His presence. We are doomed. The second time God spoke this passage in my pain ordeal, the night of reflux that I cried to Him on the ironing board when He came and called my name. Now that's a precious, precious moment for me. And that was His assurance of His presence in a dark hour. Just hearing His voice is enough. It is enough. Just hearing Jesus' voice was enough. But majority of us, all of us, I can say, we don't want to suffer. We don't want to have pain, correct? Who wants to have pain? Welcome, welcome pain. Come la, pain. Nobody wants pain. Some of say, I'm scared of pain. Can any good come out of pain? Can or not? Can. Of course can. Jesus died on the cross. He bore our pain. The good come out of it is we have salvation and all His blessings promised. But if we try to run aimlessly, we will trip, we will fall, and this kind of pain, this sort of pain is unnecessarily. I want us to hear the Spirit of God speak today because this message is given to me at 4 a.m. in the morning for the church. I got up, I said, got it, God, I got it. But I'm like, okay, I'm having fever for so many days, right? I better jot it down. And that's why I quickly, at 4 a.m., I didn't even on the light. I quickly put it down in point forms here so that I can speak to you today. You know, and at 4 a.m., I want to jump out of bed, come to church and speak to y'all because I was just burning with God's presence. But the Lord says, my people have not recognized that there can be good, that can be blessing that will come out of whatever pain that you're going through. Whether it's mental pain, emotional pain, or physical pain, or even spiritual pain. The passage of pain is a passage of freedom. Like I say, when we recognize pain, we recognize that we need a diagnosis for our pain. Yeah? Because pain is only a symptom. You can't go up to the doctor. There's two behind, right? Doctor to be. I was a nurse. You can't go up to a doctor and you say, I have pain. What's wrong with me? And I tell you, the doctor, they are not magician. They are not superpower people. They cannot tell you what is wrong with you because they have to come up with a diagnosis. And in order to come up with a diagnosis, they will have to run through some tests on you. They will have to do a physical examination on you to rule out what sort of pain that you have. Yeah? And so pain is just a symptom. We got to ask God, what is wrong with me? What is the diagnosis? Why am I having this pain? Some people, I have lots of people because I'm a trainer. So from the different churches that I've been, different communities and even at home, you know, people expect me to give an answer. Hey, pain here lah. Hamisu ah. How I know hamisu? Because pain in the stomach could be colic pain. It could be just a lot of air and flatulence, wind. It could be because you didn't go to toilet for many days, you're constipating. It could be for the girl's abdominal area because some people can't even differentiate stomach and abdomen, right? Because for Hokkien and poto means all. The whole thing is poto, prut. But the stomach, abdomen, and in the abdominal cavity, there's so many organs that's in there. So for the woman, we can have period cramp. And some people cannot even differentiate period cramp with all sorts of cramp, don't know, just pain, pain, pain. You know, some people, now before my mom died, she's one person who cannot recognize what sort of pain. And every time she tell me pain, I say, you got to tell me what pain. Where is the pain? Is the pain running? Is the pain standstill, colicky, stagnant? What sort of pain? She say, I don't know lah, just pain lah. No, when you tell someone just pain, like even the doctor, they cannot do anything for you because they cannot rule out what is wrong. They will still have to ask you many questions. And when you're sick, you just get so sick with the doctor. It's like, what kind of doctor? Stupid one or what? Keep asking so many questions. Pain lah. A patient like that lah. Sakit lah! Sakit! Doctor, sakit! But we need to know where exactly you have the pain. The way to run tests. So it's the same in our spiritual walk. When there is pain, when we are experiencing pain, we got to ask before the ultimate physician and surgeon, what is wrong with me? Why am I having this pain? Because when you get the diagnosis, when the Lord gives you an antidote, that is the word of God, and then you will be led through the passage of freedom. So pain can actually lead you to freedom. If you are numb to pain, you cannot diagnose, you cannot treat, you cannot be led to freedom. Do you know that some people are not aware that they are in pain because they are so numb? Because they've been sitting in the pain for years upon years. They are numb to the pain. They do not want to remember the pain anymore. They suppress the pain right down in the subconscious. Even though they may be full of anger, disappointment, unforgiveness, guilt, shame, whatever that you can think of. But when the person suppresses it right down in the spirit and don't want it to surface, you cannot diagnose the pain. Have you met people? You know that something is just so wrong with the person, but you just don't know why, and the person don't know why, because the person is so numb to the pain. And so we need Jesus, the ultimate physician and surgeon, to lead us through, to cut us up, to clean us up, and all the wound, to lead us through the passage of freedom. And that is the breakthrough that I was talking about last week. When I was having all this reflux, I asked Jesus, what is wrong with me? And I told you guys that it was Jensen Franklin's book that spoke to me when I was crying out to God for an answer. The Lord says, would you be that bleeding woman who will press through the crowd, press through all the pain, press through all the burdens, press through all the disappointment and despair to touch the robe of Jesus Christ. And then when you touch him, and then Jesus will turn around and say, woman of faith, you are healed. And when you are able to press through that crowd and get your breakthrough, the Lord says you open a new dimension of breakthrough for those people who are following behind you. And when I read that, I just jumped in my spirit that God, if I were to stand still and forget about pressing through, it's not just about me, but it's about my family, it's about my church, it's about my city, it's about my nation. And I say to the Lord, yes, God, I will be that woman who will press through for that breakthrough so that it will open the door wide for those who come together and after me. And you are part of my life. My breakthrough is your breakthrough. But the enemy is working extra hard, hitting on us. And I want us to learn to stand up and fight. And we'll talk about that the following week. When we talk about pain, I love this illustration. I can't find a better illustration than childbearing. And just like childbearing, there's tremendous intense pain. And when the pain is at the most intense, that's when you must not give up. That's when that you have to push with all that you have so that the baby can break out from your womb, if not cut up. But you do not give up. When the pain is at the peak, that is when you have to ask God for all the strength you have. And that was my last week contending. I said, God, I'm very broken one. I'm very unsatisfied. You gave me that breakthrough. I declared the breakthrough. But now I am hitting like boom, back to square one. And I was locked into this confusion that I need to break out. But still, as a human being, you have to struggle. You know? You have to struggle with your flesh. I'm not saying that it's easy, but we have Jesus. That's the difference. And the last 3 days, even attended the dance conference, I was just asking God to move my body so that I can break out into freedom. Because the enemy knows that we are launching the creative arts. The enemy knows that I want to dance. And in the last 3 days, I said, I'm just preparing for this dance conference. And it's so timely that the healing come. I can roll. I can do anything I want. I can dance, you know. And then suddenly, I cannot sleep. A whole night, I can't sleep. And then actually got fever for 2 nights. I was up the entire night just taking care of him, still regaining my strength. And I say, God, this is just pure nonsense. I just really can't take this, you know. And I was just crying to the Lord on Thursday night. I text Pastor Edward. I say, I can't do this. I can't do this, Edward. I say, I can't do this. Entire night, I just cry to the Lord. And I tell God, I can't do this, Lord. I'm back to square one. I need to sleep. But today the Lord spoke very clearly that you got to rise up and you got to fight because you already got the breakthrough, but the enemy is not happy. The enemy is not happy you're getting your breakthrough, but you still have to seize it and say, this is mine. The last move that we did in our conference today as we end, this is our right. Yeah! Ooh! Oh, we get, yeah, woo, we did so many kind of funny things. So the musical theater, we ended with, this is our right. Ooh, yeah. And so even God gives us the breakthrough, we still have to hold on to it. We cannot allow the enemy to speak lies into us. And so the freedom we're talking about, likened to the childbearing pain, that freedom is not for one. When a baby breaks out from the mother's womb, that joy, that breakthrough, that blessing is not just for the mother. The mother is like the bleeding woman who pressed through to open a new dimension, because that baby is not just belonging to the mother. That breakthrough is not just the mom. It's for the entire family. Am I right? Not fair, right? Because the guy just standing, oh, my hand. Oh, you, I can't do anything. So sad. I wish I could do this for you, but I can't, you see. Not that I don't want to, but I can't. But the woman had to press through. It's not just for the family, but it's for your extended family. It's for the community. There's a baby in the house of God. Everybody, ooh, so cute, so cute, so cute, right? There's a joy in the house when there's a baby. Ashlyn was the first baby in the previous church, two previous churches that we helped to plant. She was the first baby crawling all over, no carpet, dirty floor, but still let her crawl. It's okay. But she was the only baby. And we have like 180 to 100 people. And everybody said, ooh, Ashlyn, Ashlyn, Ashlyn. That was my day off. Because everybody wants to carry my baby. I'm like, yeah, take her, take her, take her. It's my day off. So that freedom, that breakthrough, that joy, that blessing is not only the mother. It's not only the woman. But it's for the family, the extended family, the community. Because it's not take one person to raise a baby, you know. It takes the entire community to raise a child. And the church has a great big part in raising a child together with the parents. And so remember, the breakthrough is for everyone that is around us. Everybody share the blessing. And so the Lord told me that, hey, we got to take this breakthrough. We got to seize this breakthrough. And I was asking God why. And also one of the things that the Lord told me this week. On Thursday night, and I was having tremendous discomfort and pain. I sat up and cried. And while I was crying, the Lord brought to mind people. People who has been missing in our midst. I'm like, God, I became selfish at that moment, you know. I said, God, do I have to bear this for their nonsense? Like, how long do I have to bear this for the nonsense that people make? But sometimes, we have to. A lot of times, because we are a body, remember. The Bible tells us that we are a body of Christ and everyone is a part. One part hurts, every part hurts. One part is missing, the body cannot function completely. So do not underestimate one missing person. And that's why we need to carry each other's burden. That's why we have to bear each other's burden. You know how many times I have to come before the Lord to say, God, please forgive me. Because sometimes we're in pain, we become very selfish, you know. It's like, cukup lah, God, cukup. You know, they want to die, I think I let them die. Okay, I can't be bothered anymore. I'm tired, God. But every time I come out of that pain, when I regain my strength and I'm all up and the Lord has filled me up, I'm like, God, yes, I need to redeem that one too. I need to bring that one back. And I hope that we are alert that there are missing people in the church who refuse to come for one reason or another. We better be praying for them. Another revelation came on the first night of the dance conference. I sat down and watched the dance. I said, God, just give me a prophetic revelation of why I'm going through all this. And the Lord says, through Jeff, Jeff is the founder, through one of those pieces, I can't remember, we can lead people to the door of breakthrough. I can lead him to the door of breakthrough. Door. I can lead him. I can lead you. Anyone can lead you to the door of breakthrough. But it's up to you to want to walk through that door of breakthrough. Yep. The breakthrough is there. Yes. The breakthrough is there for you. The door is open. God declared the door is open for Gateway City Church. If you are part of us, the door is open. And that day when I declare, we have four or five nations represented. And I believe that these are the nations that will also share our blessing. So I can lead you to the door of breakthrough. But it's up to you to lift your leg and walk through that door. Am I right? Thank you. So today the challenge would be, as we close, what is it that is you are resisting to walk through that door of breakthrough? What is it that you are waiting to walk through the door of breakthrough? I do not know what breakthrough you are looking for. Some of us are looking for physical breakthrough like me. But I'm securing in Christ Jesus. And I have to counterfight with the word of God. Some of us are looking for financial breakthrough. Some of us are looking for relational breakthrough because we are not in good terms with someone and we're praying, we're pressing through. Some of us are looking for job breakthrough. Some of us have issues with God. And if you have issues with God, you got to deal with it. Because, and unless you pass this step one, you cannot go through other doors of breakthrough. If you're angry with God, if you're disappointed with God, if you're frustrated with God, you got to deal with this pain, this spiritual pain, brutally in the presence of God and say, God, deal with me. I got issues with you, God. God, you're not fair. God, you're not just. God, I don't like what you did to me. Some of us even worse. I don't like what you did to my good friend. It's not even your business, you know. I have people who come to me and say, I'm angry with God for what God has allowed my friend to go through. I said, that you pray for your friend, but that is your friend's burden. You don't carry that kind of burden for your friend. Are you with me? We have many people who are angry with God, not because they themselves have issue, but because their friend have issues with God, and so they are bearing the friend's issues with God. Are you with me? They're trying to protect their friend. They're trying to protect their family. That is God and the person. We pray. We intercede. So the challenge for us is, today, look to the cross and thank God for that breakthrough. Thank God for that declaration of breakthrough last week. Thank God for that breakthrough has been decreed to us in ministry as well. And for some of us, it's fear. We're so bound by fear. We got to break out from fear. Fear of all sorts. You got to break out. Only one challenge. I want us to just quieten down as we close today and have this conversation with God brutally. What is the pain that you have been going through? Is it a mental pain? Is it emotional pain? A spiritual pain or a physical pain? Would you tell it to the Lord? Or are you angry with God for allowing this pain in your life? This is your time and I want us to speak to the Lord. Then will you ask God to lead you through this passage of pain to the passage of freedom? For some of us, you may not understand what I'm talking about. Some 2,000 years ago, more than that, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is also God. He came and He died on the cross. He was crucified, not because He was of sin, but He had no sin. He came and He was hung on the cross for you and for me to bear the sins, the shame, and the guilt that we have. And He sat on the cross, "It is finished." And when God says "it is finished," means He had paid the redemption price for you to redeem you from the pit of hell so that you can go to heaven when you leave this earth. Because all of us will leave this earth one day. And if you do not know where you're going at the end of your journey on this earth, heaven or hell, the answer is, if you believe in Jesus Christ who died for you on the cross and you confess Him and call upon Him and say, "Jesus, come into my life," you will have that forever life, the eternal life in heaven with Jesus. You will not need to go to hell. If you are that person, I want you to ask the Lord to come into your life and to lead you to freedom. We'll just have the worship team to come and minister to us while we take a close. You can still continue your conversation with the Lord. But I really want to beseech us, church, arise and walk through that door of breakthrough and take what is rightfully yours, which the enemy has taken from you. You and I have the right to go through that door and take it back and say, "This is mine. I'm taking it back." Whatever that you have lost, take it back from the enemy, because Jesus said, "It is finished." Do not be like the woman in the tomb, still looking for the loss, while Jesus was busy. While we were crying in our darkness, Jesus was busy doing His work for us to redeem every losses in our life. So cry no more, people. For the Lord has done it all on the cross. It is finished. It is finished.